I'm not sure for that one.
Yudches Samed Aleph. We're going to start.
18A1?
Top line. Top line. 18A1? 18A1. Okay, Gemara was discussing that in certain cases, what the Mishnah said at the beginning of the Perek, but the Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha agrees that if a guy says to his friend, this field used to be your father's, I bought it from you, I bought it from him, and the guy never said anything about it, so it's what's called Pesha Asa Pesha Hitter. If we believe him one thing, you have to believe him the next. So the Gemara is asking a whole bunch of questions, the last few pages. Why does Rabbi Shua ben Karcha talk about such a case? He could say a different case, where it would be the same din of Pesha Asa Pesha Hitter. So he basically said like this. But listen, the top line of the page, the last word.
18A1?
Yes. But listen, why doesn't this should have said like this? May the Rabbi Yeshua, ben Karcha would agree. If a guy says to his friend, Mana Levisi Mimcha, I lent from you $100. I borrowed from you $100. Uparati Loch and I paid you Shehu Naman. In other words, the Gemara is just mentioning a lot of cases of what would be called Pesha Asa Pesha Hitter. That means if you believe him with one, you have to believe him with the next. So the Gemara asks, why does Rabbi Yeshua being a crazy case, a guy comes to his friend and says, you know, this field used to be your father's and I bought it. He could say a simple case. I borrowed from you $100 and I paid you.
For this field?
Huh?
In general.
Why does the Mishnah mention such a crazy... Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha basically is teaching us a din that if it's Pesha Asa, Pesha Hitta, we believe him. Remember the argument, the first parak of the Gemara, Ram Gamliel said, Remember in the first parak, we always believe the woman, and Rabbi Yeshua said, no, we don't believe her. Remember all these things? Okay. So in this parak, at the beginning of the parak, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yeshua says, even though normally we don't believe the person, but in a case of Pesha Asa, Pesha Hitta, we do. And he said, what's the case? This field used to be your father's, and I bought it from him, and we believe him. Because nobody ever said differently. So Gemara says, why can't you say a more practical case? Somebody comes over to somebody and says, you know what? I owed you $1,000. I borrowed from you $1,000, but I paid you back.
Nothing to do with the land, just in general.
A general case of Pesha Asa Pesha
Hitta. Oh, in general.
Okay. Right. So he says, why doesn't he say such a case? That would also be Pesha Asa Pesha Hitta. So Gemara says like this, Mishum de b'kaboy l'mister sefer, because at the end of our Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua added a vart. Im yesh edim shulav mimenu, because then the case would be, if there's witnesses that he borrowed from him, v'hu eme peraiti. And he says, I paid, ain't a nam, and he's not believed. Because what did Rabbi Yeshua say? If there's witnesses that it was your father's, then he's not believed. It's not a Pesha Asa anymore. Because now there are witnesses that say it was your father's. That means what would be the case here? If a guy says, I borrowed from you $1,000 and I paid you back, he's believed. But if there are Edim, then he's not believed. Right? That would be the follow-up. So Mar said, but that's true. It's not true. Because of Kaimelon, we know Hamalvis Chaveda Be'edim, just because you lend somebody money in the presence of witnesses, ain't Tzadach Lefada Be'edim, you don't have to pay him back in front of witnesses. So why wouldn't the guy be believed? What are the witnesses saying? You borrowed $1,000 from the guy. But they don't know if you paid back or not. And the din is, if the guy says, I paid, we believe him. So then the follow-up scenario of Rabbi Yeshua's case wouldn't apply. Rabbi Yeshua says he's believed, but if there are Edim, he's not believed. But in this case, he would be believed, because even if there's witnesses that he owed him the money, he's still believed to say, I paid. Right? It's understood? Very simple.
He says, and Osari doesn't have to pay him with Edim.
That means he's believed to say, I paid you.
So it goes well with the Sefer, no? Doesn't go well?
No. Because Rabbi Yeshua says in the Sefer, if there's witnesses, then he's not believed.
Oh, he's not believed. Okay.
Right? But in this case, he would be believed. There's an argument in the Gemara, okay? If somebody borrows money in front of two witnesses, does he have to pay him back in front of two witnesses or no? But the Gemara says here, we paskin that you don't have to pay back in front of witnesses. Right? That means, if you bring two witnesses that owe you $1,000, and I say, yeah, I did, but I paid you. Right? I'm believed. But Rav Shua's whole din is, if there's witnesses, then you're not believed. Because it's not a Pesha Asa, a Pesha Hitter anymore. So the sequence of it wouldn't be. The Gemara's not saying the din's wrong. The din is right. If I say I owed you $1,000 and I paid you, I'm believed. Because it's Pesha Asa, a Pesha Hitter. Why doesn't the Mishnah say that case, though, of Pesha Asa, a Pesha Hitter? Because the end case, the second follow-up case, wouldn't be good. Because what's the follow-up case? If there are witnesses, then he's not believed. But in this case, he would be believed. What?
If the guy denies it still, then you didn't pay him back. He makes you swear.
Hametz mechaver ol levaraya. You want to take money, you have to prove it. Just because you have edim that I borrowed the money from you, doesn't mean I didn't pay you back. If I say I paid you back, right? I'm not lying. I'm not going against the witnesses. If you came over to me and said, I owe you $1,000. I mean, I owe you $1,000, yeah? And I say, it never happened. The loan never happened. Right? And then you bring two witnesses that it did happen. Correct? So we learned before in the Gemara. Can I say, okay, yeah, you're right, I paid you? No. So you, obviously you're saying I never paid you. But here, the witnesses are not saying you never paid it back. All the witnesses saying there was a loan of $1,000. I say, yeah, there was a loan of $1,000. I agree, but I paid you. Do you have proof that I didn't? No. Who, you want to take money out from me? You have to prove that I didn't pay you back. He didn't have a shtar. If there's a document, if I paid, I should take back the document to get a receipt at least. Here there was no document. He lent money in front of two witnesses, right? I said I paid you back. You don't have proof that I didn't.
In what case the alleged borrower has to swear and get out of it? In what case?
There's a rabbinic shvur. It's called shvur seses. If we're going to soon see about made the b'mikza, you admit half. That's a whole different story. If I come over to you and say you owe me $1,000, and you say, no, I don't. There's no witnesses, there's no nothing. Right? Rabbinically, I have to swear that I don't owe you the money. If you say to me, and this is what I'm going to say now, because we're going to learn soon this in the Gemara. If you say, come to me and say, I owe you $100. I say, no, I only owe you $50. That's a biblical oath, what's called modem b'mixis. If I admit half, and the one is going to explain the logic of it, then I have to swear. I have to pay you the $50 they admit. And I have to swear that I don't owe you on the rest. If I swear, I don't have to pay you. Or, there's another case. You say to me, I owe you $100. Yeah? And I say, no, I don't. And you produce one witness that I do owe you $100. Now, one witness doesn't extract money. What one witness does do, he makes you swear. A biblical shvur. Then I have to swear that I don't owe you the money, and then I don't have to pay it. Okay, then the Gemara asks another, say, let him say another case of Pesha Atzer. The list, now why doesn't it say a case made that Rabbi Shua says, this is an interesting case. If a guy says to his friend, you know something? I owed your father $100, but I paid $50. It's a very interesting case.
More than accept?
Yeah. No, I owed your father 100, but I paid 50.
Right. Okay. That's more than mixes. But the difference is, you're not asking me for the money. If you would ask me for $100, and I say 50, I have to swear. Right? But here, it's Pesha Asa. You never asked me the money. You don't even know about it. I on my own come to you and say, you know what? I owed your father $100, and I paid 50. Yeah? So then this, he's believed. He doesn't have to swear. obviously he has to pay the 50. Or he says, no, he actually says, I paid half. I paid 50 already. So nothing.
Or the other half.
He doesn't have to swear.
But he has to pay the other half?
Nope.
He said only half.
I paid half of it.
Only pay half. So he admitting there is other half.
Yeah, but here he doesn't have to pay. He doesn't have to swear. The question is, does he have to pay it?
Why not?
Because nobody ever asked him for the money. Okay, let's see in the Gemara. That he's nami, he doesn't have to take an oath. Yeah? So Gemara says, 1 minute. Aliba the man, who is this like? Because now it starts like this. Ile I aliba the Rabbanon, if according to the Rabbanon, they say it's called Meshiv Aveda. Okay? I'm just looking about the payment. Could be he has to pay the other 50, yeah, by
only
the way.
Maybe the Shavua is part of it. Only the Shavua.
Yeah, but he would have to pay 50.
Yeah.
But that's called in.
I know, it's interesting, they're not talking about the paying over here. Okay, anyway, the case over there, what the case is, of according to the Rabbanan, like this. In Shavuos, in the Gemara Shavuos, there's a case like this. The case was, a guy comes, if the guy tells his father, a guy tells somebody, you owed my father a mana. I come over to you. The case in Shavuos is different. I come over to you and say, you owe my father $100. Father died already, yeah? The guy says, you owe my father $100. And you say, I only owe you 50. I only owed him 50. Okay? I say to you, you owed my father $100. Okay? We're reversing the people. And the guy answers, no, I only owed him 50. Is that moda b'miksas? Is that admitting half or not? What's the argument? The argument is very simple. The Chachamim hold, as the Gemara says here, he's a Meshiv Aveda. He's a Meshiv Aveda. Why? Because he has no proof. He has no proof. There's no proof that he owes him $100. If the guy denied the whole thing, he wouldn't have to pay and he wouldn't even have to swear. We'll soon find out. He wouldn't even have to swear. You have proof? You don't have proof. I owe your father $100? Who says? Right? He could have denied the whole thing and he would be out of it. He's a nice guy. And he's giving back 50. So the Chum say, why should he swear? He could have denied the whole thing. He's a nice guy. He's admitting half. You're going to make him swear yet? And the other opinion, Abelazar ben Yaakov says, no, it's made him a mixus. The brother guy says, you owed my father $100, which means me, because the guy inherited the father. And he says, no, I only owe you 50. So he has to swear. Okay, so the Chachamim hold, there's a concept that's called Meshiv Aveda. If you're returning a lost article, you don't have to swear. Because if the guy's a Ganef, yeah. Where does this concept come from? If I find a lost article in the street, I find a lost article on the street. Yeah? And I return it to you. And then you have to stare and start telling me that no, there was double the money in there. I found a wallet with $100 with your name on it. I give it back to you. And you kind of say, wait a minute, there was $200 in the envelope. And you're only giving me back $100. Yeah? Torah says you don't have to swear. He's a nice guy. He could have kept the whole thing. Right? He's a nice guy. So you're going to make him swear? Yeah? Why should anybody want to return lost articles? So the Chachamim say in this case is the same thing. The guy comes over to him and he says, you owed my father $100. Yeah? And the guy says, no, I only owed him 50. So the Chachamim hold, he doesn't have to swear. Even though technically he's a motor b'miksas, he is admitting half, but the Balamei is a Meshav Aveda, he doesn't have to swear. Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov says, no, he's a regular motor b'miksas, yeah? So now let's come back to our case. What's our case? The guy himself says, I owed your father $100. Okay? But I paid half. Now, according to the Chachamim, that hold a Meshav Aveda doesn't swear. Of course he doesn't have to swear. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, he would have to swear. Right? Because even though he's a Meshav Aveda, but he's admitting half, so he would have to swear. So that's what the Gemara says, Aliba the man. If you can tell me this case is according to the Chachamim, they say Meshav Aveidahu. Okay? So then, even if it's not, the whole Chiddush of our Mishnah was, nobody asked him for the money, and on his own, he came and said, I owed your father $100. Right? It's not only that, even if the guy claimed the money, and the guy answered, I paid 50. He would also be butter. If you're saying it's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's opinion that a Meshav Aveda also has to swear, he would also have to swear. Where do we see such a Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? The Tanya, because it says in the following braisa like this. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, Pa'amim sha'adam nishbal tainas atzmi. Sometimes, a guy has to swear on his own claim. Not when you claim. What's the case? Keitzet, mamish this case. Man alav yicha biyadi, if an orphan says, I'm sorry, a guy said to an orphan, Man alav yicha biyadi, a man of your father, meaning I owed your father $100. V'achalti pras, he pays. Yeah? Hareiz an nishpa, this is a case where he has to swear his made of a mixus. And it's a nishbal tainus atzmi. He was the one that initiated it. The guy himself said, I owed your father $100, but I paid 50. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, this is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's din, that he has to swear. Chachamim eminim, ein elek meshav aveda. He's a meshav aveda, and a meshav aveda doesn't have to swear.
Why is the case with orphan different?
No, that's the case of our Mishnah, an orphan. The guy says, I owed your father $100, but I paid 50. Right? So the question is like this. Rabbi Yeshua says that if he initiated it, you don't have to swear. The truth according to the Chacham, even if the other guy initiated, even if the other guy said, you owed my father $100, and I say pay 50, I don't have to swear.
Do they
say
the same thing?
Hashavat Aveda
is the same as Pesha Osar, Pesha
Hitir,
or is it a different thing?
It's similar, but Meshav Aveda, even if it's not a Pesha
Osar, Pesha
Hitir.
But the concept is the same.
It's not really the same.
No?
Pesha Osar, Pesha Hitir means when I initiate it. Right?
Your action is initiating.
Right. But according to the Chachamim, the case is a guy comes to him. It says, you owed my father $100. And the guy said, I paid 50.
Okay.
So because he could have denied the whole thing easily, right? It's not a problem. I'm going to explain something now, which is in the upcoming Gemara, okay? I mean, in the rest of the page. Why did the Chachamim say, if I come over to you and say, you owe me $1,000, and you say, I owe you nothing. Biblically, there's no shvur. Right? Biblically, you have to prove it. That's it. You can't prove it. Tough luck. The Chachamim said, you have to swear. Why? Because normally a guy won't ask money if it's not true. Why would I start walking to everybody and say, you owe me $1,000? I mean, what guy's a nut? Obviously, if I say you owe me $1,000, there's something there. There's something there. You just go and go around to every guy in the street looking for quarters by the meters. You don't just go on the street telling everybody you owe me $1,000. You don't do that. Okay? So the Chachamim said, you have to swear. Okay? Now, what happens though, what's called made of the mixes? You say to me, I owe you $100. I say, no, I owe you 50. The Torah says I need to swear. Right? Why? Why? So the Gemara says like this. There's a, I don't know if the chazaka would apply today in today's crazy world. The Gemara says, the Gemara is going to mention here, chazaka, ein oda meis panev b'fnei bal chayvei. A guy really doesn't have the chutzpah to deny a loan.
Doesn't apply now.
That's what I'm saying. A guy doesn't have a chutzpah. The guy did you a favor. You know, you don't have a chutzpah to deny the loan. So really, I would admit the whole thing. But I don't have the money now. I only have $50. So I'm telling you, I owe you 50. It's called ishtamut ikam ishtamet. I'm trying to get out. I'm trying to stall time to get the other 50. But the fact that I admitted 50 shows I don't have the chutzpah to deny it. Right? I don't have the chutzpah to deny it. But I can't pay the whole 100, so I'm going to pay 50 now, and I'll get the money. I'm planning to pay you back. So the Torah says you need to swear. But the Gemara says that the rule, you don't have chutzpah to the one that lent you the money. Here the father's dead. The kids are asking for the money. The kids didn't do him a favor. The father did. Instead, so he's going to have the chutzpah to deny it.
And the fact that he's admitting...
The fact that he's admitting means he's giving a gift. He's Meshav Aveda. And if he's a Meshav Aveda, you can't make him swear. In other words, what I'm explaining, what the Gemara is going to get into now... What's the difference by the Chachamim said, if the guy says you owed my father $100 and the guy said that only was 50, he doesn't have to swear. Why? Because he's a Meshav Aveda. He's returning a lost article because he didn't have to do anything. Why is that different than a regular case of Meida B'Mixas? Meida B'Mixas also wanted to say Meshav Aveda. He could have denied the whole thing. He could have denied the whole thing, and he said, I owe you, you come to me, not fathers, you come to me and say, I owe you $100. I say, no, I owe you 50. Right? So what's the then? I have to pay the 50 and swear on the rest. Now think about it. Why am I not Meshav Aveda? I'm returning, I could have denied the whole thing, biblically. I could have denied the whole thing, you would have gotten nothing. Why am I not denying the whole thing? Because Mar said, I don't have the chutzpah to deny you. You lent me the money. I'm not going to have the chutzpah in your face to say I don't do it.
So you should be all the way around. So you don't have to swear.
Where?
In this case, if somebody doesn't have a chutzpah to deny it, so he doesn't have to swear. He's a nice guy. So why are you making him swear? I don't get it.
Because the Torah says we're forcing you. Because really, we assume once you admitted 50, it's only because you don't have the chutzpah to deny the whole thing. But you don't have the chutzpah to deny the whole thing, but you really owe him. So therefore we're going to make you swear that you don't. And if you swear you don't, by the way, you don't pay. But there's a difference, the Gemara is going to differentiate soon, between me and you, or your father and me. Yeah. There's a difference. Because by your father and you, I could have the chutzpah without any problem. to deny everything. Why am I not denying anything? Because I'm a Meshav Aved, I'm a nice guy. You can't make him swear. But if it's me and you, I don't have the chutzpah to deny it. And therefore I'm only admitting because I want to get out of it meanwhile. So the Torah says swear.
I don't get it.
Huh?
I don't get it. If he doesn't have a chutzpah to deny it, and he's a nice guy, why do you make him swear? He's a poor guy.
No, because he should have admitted the whole thing. Based on the chazaka, why is he not admitting the whole thing?
No,
you lent me $100, yeah? You lent me $100. If I don't have the chutzpah, I should have admitted the whole thing.
No, maybe he bought only half of it. He's not lying. Why should
he? He is lying.
What did the mix have? He's lying?
Well, if he swears, we believe him. But otherwise, there's a reason to say that he's not lying. He wants to push him off. So the Torah says he can't push him off. You have to swear or pray. What happens if a guy really should swear? Right? But he can't. Why not? I'll give you a very simple reason. You come to me and say, I owe you $100. Yeah? I say, 50 I remember, 50 I don't know. What's the oath of Meida B'Mixas? The oath of Meida B'Mixas is, I don't owe you the other 50. Correct? That's the Shvuah. I don't owe you the money. Now, if I said 50 I owed you, 50 I owe you, 50 I don't know.
I'm suffic.
What am I supposed to swear? I don't know. That's not an oath.
So he has to pay?
So he has to pay. Or, if there's one witness, and this is the famous story in Bava Basra, what's called Naschad Rababa, the Gemara tells a story, Rababa Paskin didn't, it's called Naschad Zabecher. A guy comes to somebody, brings somebody to Bezin, says, you stole a becher from my house. You took my Kiddush cup. The guy says, yeah, but it was mine. And what witness testifies that he took it? One witness testified he took it.
His wife did it.
He said, yeah, we yeah, but there's a chazakah. Okay, so what does he have to do now?
He has to return it.
He has to swear against the witness, right? The Eid Achot says you have to swear against the witness. If two Eidim testified he took it, he can't say it's mine, because then we have to prove that it's his. Otherwise, it's the guy he stole it from, right? But what's the case? I stole the Becher from you, and you say, why did you steal my Becher? I said, I took it, but it's mine. Now, one witness comes and says he took it. So he has to swear against the witness. Right?
But
what did the witness say? What did the witness say? You took it. Yes. What does he have to swear?
That I didn't take it.
Can he swear I didn't take it?
No.
Because he said I took it.
Right.
So then he can't swear. Or the other case I said, 50 I know, and 50 I don't know. So the din of Rababa is Miteich She'ein Yochel Yishava Mishalim. If you can't swear, you have to pay. In other words, the Torah says by swearing, you get out of payment. If you can't swear, then you have to pay.
So he has to give it back. Is careful or not?
No, no. He has to give it back.
But they said that it's not nice to swear in general, right? People, they don't like to swear.
Good, no.
They're making hard for him,
the more they mix
that guy.
For instance, another din. What happens if the guy would swear, but he's a liar and a god if Embezim says you can't swear? So what do you do then? So the din is, the demander swears and takes. Normally, the Mishnah says, you swear and don't pay. You can never swear and pay and take. But you say, I owe $1,000. I say, I owe you nothing. Yeah? You can't swear that I owe you the money and take the money. There's no such din. There's no din of swearing to take. Swearing is to get you out of payment. You can't swear and take. Right? But what happens if Beis Din doesn't let the guy swear? If Beis Din doesn't let you swear, there's no choice. The guy said, I want to swear. You don't let me swear. So the din is the other guy swears and takes.
The swear is not in order to make the case clear?
No.
No?
Swear is to believe the person with what he says.
So,
but what happens if the guy can't swear? Because again, the shvua has to be to contradict what the witness said. If the witness said you took it, the only shvua he could say is I didn't take it. He can't swear I took it and it's mine, because that's not against what the witness said. That's the din of the Torah. You have to swear against what the witness said and you believed. So the witness said you took it, you took the becher, and I say, yeah, I took it, but I did, it's mine. I can't swear. So the Baba said, what is it? You have to give it back.
So there, in the Torah, there is no such a thing. After the Goyim says, you know, I swear that everything I say is true. You can come and say anything without swear, right?
No, in Beis Din, what you say is under, not under oath, but it's, yeah.
They don't make him make an oath. It's just saying statement.
Statements.
But if you want to go against something, then you have to swear.
Then you have to pay. What?
If the guy is a liar in Russia, the guy swears and takes, I mean, that could be abused.
Why?
Go up to different people who are...
yeah, but Beis Din, then the guy's a crook also, so Beis Din... coming back to this Gemara. So Gemara's question was, why can't Rabbi Yeshua say a case that I owed your father $100 and I paid you 50, right? So Gemara says, 1 minute. According to Rabbi, the Chachamim, he's a Meshav Aved, he doesn't have to swear anyway. According to Rabbi Lozav Ben Yaakov, he's not a Meshav Aved, even though he's a Meshav Aved, he still has to swear. So like, which case would you buy that he believed is not according to anybody? Yeah, 1 second. But the Gemara asks, but Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov less than Meshav Aveda? Does Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov disagree with the whole kind of Meshav Aveda? Again, the original Meshav Aveda case means, if I return a lost article to you, and you want me to swear, the Chacham say that you don't swear, right? So he said, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov doesn't agree with that concept? How could that be? Rav says like this, when's the case... between a cotton. It says like this. A kid, the way the Gemara is learning now, under bar mitzvah, is the one that said, you owe my father the money. Not an adult child. The Gemara says, what's the case of the Elazar ben Yaakov? A guy comes and says, you owe my father $100. And the guy says, I paid you 50. Right? But the Gemara says the case over there is a kid under bar mitzvah says to the guy, you owe my father $100. And the guy says, I only owe you 50. That's not a real Meshav Aveda. You know why? Your father's here. Shimshon. It's not a real Meshav Aveda. Because he didn't initiate it. A kid initiated it. Granted, it's only a kid, not an adult. But you can't say he's a real Meshav Aveda. In other words, by a real Meshav Aveda, where the guy initiated it himself, his taka doesn't have to swear. But here, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, according to Rav, is saying, a kid asked him for the money, so then it's not real initiating on your own. So Gemara right away asks, I am a mare nishpoin, al tainus chay shayte v'kotten. But there's a Mishnah that says, if a cotton demands money from you, you don't have to swear. So how can Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov say you have to swear because he's not a Meshiv Aveda, but if a kid says you owe me the money, it's not, you don't swear on it. So Gemara says, my cotton godl. It doesn't mean a kid under bar mitzvah. It means an adult. So why are we calling him a kid? He says, because as far as his father's properties are concerned, he's like a kid.
Why?
What does he know what the father did? What's the din of a cotton? A cotton doesn't know anything.
He doesn't know.
An adult talking about his father, he knows he lent him the money. He knows what he knows, and he doesn't know. So now the Gemara says, if that's the case, why does he say Tainus Atzmi? Why does Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov say he has to swear because it's his own Taina? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said this is a case where a guy swears on his own thing. Remember, this Gemara said that's the case in Nishbal Tainus Atzmi. It's not Tainus Atzmi, it's Tainus Achedim. It's a claim somebody else is making. So Gemara says, you're right. What it means is, Tainus Achedim, it's others that are demanding it, but they does Atzmi. But his own admission makes him swear. Because if he denied the whole thing, he wouldn't have to swear, because the guy has no proof that it's his father's. The kid, the son is saying, you owe my father the money. But what's really making him swear? Not his saying, you owe my father the money, because he's like a kid, he doesn't know. My admission of 50 is making me swear. So it's like called on my admission is causing me to swear.
So he pays, what, the whole thing?
No, he has to pay 50 and swear.
He's admitted to
pay. So he pays 50.
Why does he have to swear?
According to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, he has to swear that he doesn't owe him the rest. Because this guy says, you owe my father 100. And he says, no, I only have 50. Right? So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says he has to swear. And he calls it, this is his own admission is causing him to swear. So Gemara says, but it's not his own admission. So Gemara says, yes, what's causing him to swear is not the kid saying, you owe my father $100. Because that's like a kid. What's causing him to swear is his own admission that he owes the 50.
But if he would have volunteered himself to tell the kid, I owe this amount, then he doesn't have to pay.
That everybody says, Pesha also Pesha Hitta. It's the mouth that forbids, permits. Here the problem is, because the guy says, you owed my father the money.
Well, in general, if somebody does Hashavat Aveda, he brings the $200, I brought you, I found it. So no, it was $400. Do you have any...
No, that's the denomination of Aveda.
In general?
Yeah.
So
he doesn't have to swear.
No, according to Rabbi Eliezer, he has to swear?
No. The Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov agrees. The Gemara says, he doesn't hold the Meshiv Aveda. That's a given. That's the Gemara asks. Of course he does. Because the Mishnah Gittin says that for the benefit of society, he doesn't have to swear.
Yeah, so he's making it hard for him.
You know, I'm going to tell you something. It's a lahavda. I mean, do you know today, God forbid, somebody faints on the street. Yeah? And you run over to help him. You can get sued. Right? So what do people do? We'll keep walking. Why are you going to get sued yet? See, in Teda, they made things that for the sake of benefit of society, the Torah would have said you can't get sued in such a case. Yeah, but protect them. I told you, there's a famous story they tell. There's a guy who found a wallet with a simon on it. Mamish this case. And he brought it back to the owner. Mm-hmm. The owner was not such an honest guy. He opens the wallet. He says, there's $200 in the wallet. He says, you gone if there was $400 in the wallet. He says, what are you talking about? There was $200 in the wallet. If I would be gone if I would steal the whole thing. He says, no, you're gone if you stole $200. So he went to the Rav. The Rav listened to both cases. He's a smart guy, the Rav. He listened to both cases. This guy says, I found 200. This guy said, no, you found 400. So the Rav listened to both cases. And then he says, you know, you both look to me like honest people. I believe you that you found 200. I believe you that you lost 400. It's obviously not your wallet. Your wallet had 400. He said he found 200. I believe both of you. You lost 400, he found 200. It's not your wallet.
Let me keep it.
So the guy admitted that he was a liar.
This is my wallet.
Understand? But that's the consummation of Aveda. Why should a guy want to give anything back if the guy he knows, the guy's going to start suing him? And
Huh?
Why should he do it?
Yeah.
But the Gemara says, Takana Salem. The Chacham instituted, and this the secular system doesn't have this, by the way. The Chacham instituted a lot of takonis, was called Netikana Elam, to make the world normal. Why would anybody want to give back anything if he can get them to, they have to be shtrapped to Besdin, and he has to swear? People don't want to swear. Yeah. What are they need it for? You know, there's another interesting halacha, but we mentioned this off topic though. Halacha, I mean, according to secular law, if I walk in the street and see a guy drowning, I have no legal obligation to save him. If I walk by and just ignore it, nobody could do anything to me for not doing it. Yeah? According to Torah, it's a lav, leisamer al dam riacha. I have a biblical obligation to go help him. If I'm able to. If a guy's drowning, I don't know how to swim, then I don't have an obligation to
swim. If you know how to swim and you see the guy drown, at least try to help him, and secular world would say.
No, they wouldn't. Can get sued. God forbid the guy drowns, they'll sue you for not saving him. I mean, whatever, for killing him. Where?
Here.
In secular law.
Yeah, but you see it happening in front of you. What do? You see a good.
I'll tell you what people do. They don't do it anymore.
They call 911.
They call 911, they won't touch the guy.
By that time, it's too late.
You want to get sued and end up in jail?
Yeah, they're going to say, you should have done it.
You touched the guy, you killed him, and you did this and did this, and you're wrong. And they'll bring the expert witnesses that what you did was wrong, and you end up in jail. Or pay us, get sued for millions of dollars. What?
It's a doggy-dog world.
Yeah. Even out of the doghouse, it's a doggy-doggy world.
So you should know. You see a guy who gets into an accident, the car is smoking, can pull him out and save his life and whatever.
And then if he has a broken neck,
and then he sues you for it.
And then that's what they do.
And if the car goes up and explodes.
Yet you always hear about these heroes that risk their lives and they save somebody. Okay.
I would try to save him.
No more heroes.
No more heroes.
So you shouldn't do it.
I'll be told you have to do it.
Okay.
But not if you're going to get sued.
How do you know if you're
going to
get sued?
Nothing to give him.
Yeah, but it's not dam riach. It's machoikis. If it applies to only to Jews, to goyim also, whatever. Riach b'chaz machoikis.
You have to save the Jew even though he gets
Shabbos. He can't save him.
Not if he's going. It's going to hurt you by it. Then chayach hakaidman. But you know. But there's an inya. If you can help somebody, you have an obligation to help.
So you see, a guy is not from. He's Jewish.
You call 911, that's what they do today. Okay.